The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. Starting off with an image here today, a meditation that comes from St. Ignatius of Loyola. And I hope everybody here has already heard of St. Ignatius of Loyola, but just in case you haven't, St. Ignatius of Loyola, 16th century Spanish priest and one of the greatest saints who's ever lived. He has a meditation that helps explain the tensions in your life and in the world around you. And the meditation goes something like this. Imagine, if you will, a vast battlefield, immeasurable in its scope, limitless as far as the eye can see. And aligned on one side of this vast battlefield is an enormous army, spurred on by frightful demonic forces, consumed in rage. It's the army of the evil one. It's the forces of Lucifer, who says to those assembled, "I will give you honor and power. I will give you pleasure and comfort and ease. I will give you riches and wealth. I will destroy what belongs to God in this world and establish my reign on earth." On the other side, imagine a vast plain just outside the city of Jerusalem. Standing in the center of it is Jesus Christ, and all around him, men and women from every time and place, from every race, language, and culture. He speaks to them one by one. He calls each of them by name and gives to each one a mission not entrusted to anyone else in the entire world. And to each person he says, "I must first establish you in humility, because then you will be invincible against the power of evil. And then I will establish my kingdom on this earth." Got the image in your mind? Got the image in your mind? Good. Now, pick a side. Saint Ignatius says, pick a side. Because whether you like it or not, in every decision that you make, and for the entirety of your life, you are picking a side. Thus the tension in the world, thus the tension in your own life. You're always choosing which kingdom you will fight for in everything that you do. And you say, "Well, I don't want to fight for any kingdom. I just want to be neutral. I'm going to sit on the fence." I knew a priest once upon a time, he made up a story about people who sat on the fence. He said that someone tried to observe the entire battle between good and evil being fought down throughout history by sitting on the fence. And when the battle was over, Lucifer walked up to him and said, "Thanks for fighting for my side." Man said, "Fighting for your side? I didn't fight for anybody's side. I'm just sitting here on the fence." He goes, "Yeah, I know, but haven't you heard? I own the fence." And the reason why I mention this is because that meditation from St. Ignatius is occasioned by the gospel that you just heard. The confrontation between Jesus Christ and Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate representing all the powers and forces of this world, the Roman Empire with all of its might and power. And on the other side, Jesus Christ, clothed in humility, but invincible against the powers of evil, even though it's not visible yet. It happened on that first Good Friday. You remember that first Good Friday? Jesus Christ was condemned and scourged and beaten to within an inch of his life. He was spat upon and abused, crowned with thorns, cloaked in a garment which was made purple by his own blood, and a reed stuffed into his clenched fist in mockery of being a royal scepter dragged before Pontius Pilate, who looked him up and down and with a voice dripping with contempt said, "Are you the king of the Jews? Are you the one they call the king?" Now listen to Jesus' answer. He says, "Do you say that on your own, or have others told you about me?" It's almost the exact same answer that he gave to his apostles when they came to him and said, "You know, people are saying that you're the Messiah." What did Jesus say back to them when they said that? They said, "That's what others say about me. But you, who do you say that I am?" You know, there's a difference between power and authority. Power comes from an office. You have a certain office, you have a certain title, you have power. You can bark out commands, people do what you say. Authority is different. Authority comes from the person. Pontius Pilate had power, but Jesus has authority. Why? Because he just turned this trial on its head. With that question that he asked, "Who do you say that I am?" It's Pontius Pilate who now stands on trial, as do all of us, because it's the most important question you will ever answer. You've heard it said that Jesus is a king, but do you say that of yourself? Or is that just what other people have told you to say? We celebrate today the Feast of Christ the King, last feast day of the entire year, as if to symbolize that when all the rivers of time spill out into the great ocean of eternity, Christ alone will reign. A feast day established by Pope Pius XI. The year was 1925, not long after the end of the First World War, and all across the world, people sharing the same anxiety, wondering if there will ever again be peace among nations. Pius XI created the Feast of Christ the King as if to say, "Do not put your trust in nation states, or in presidents or prime ministers. Do not put your trust in treaties or politicians. There will never be peace on this earth until Christ reigns in every heart." You've heard that said before. You've been to feasts of Christ the King in the past. You've heard priests stand up in the pulpit and tell you that Christ is a king. You've heard it set to music. You've seen it etched in marble. You've seen it painted in oil, paint and water, color and beautiful mosaic. Maybe once upon a time your mother told you that Christ was a king. Fine and well. But do you say that on your own? Or is that just what other people have told you to say? Most important question you'll ever answer. And a dangerous question to answer. Do you realize that's a politically charged question? Because if you really confess that Christ is king, not will be king, but right now as we stand here, reigns over all and demands your allegiance in everything, thought, word, and action, that means that absolutely no one in this world and no power in this world can claim authority over him. No country, no political party. There's a neighboring parish that I will not name to save the names of the innocent. Man walked up to the pastor there and he said, "I'm thinking about joining your church, but before I do, just one question. If I join your church, do I have to give up my politics?" Without missing a beat, the priest said, "Of course you have to give up your politics. Everybody has to give up their politics if they believe that Christ is king. It'll get you in a lot of trouble." Got Jesus into a lot of trouble. Why? Because the moment he was born, there was a threat to the powers of this world. King Herod. You remember the story from the Bible back along Christmas time? And he heard that there was a newborn king. And what did he do? Ordered the execution of every child in the vicinity to protect his authority. When they put Jesus on the cross, what was it that got him nailed to the cross? They believed that he was a threat to the power of Rome. Very dangerous to confess that Christ is a king. It's the reason why the church will never fit in to any society, and especially to ones that are authoritarian and dictatorial, because we represent a power higher than anything in this world. It's also very dangerous because it means that it has to be your highest allegiance among anyone you know. If you confess that Christ is a king, and you have a conflict with your husband or with your wife, and you have to choose a side in the great battle, you know that regardless of the consequences, you have to choose Christ's side. It could get you into trouble in your place of work. You might need to change jobs. It could get you into trouble amidst your friends. You might have to let some friends go. If you have to choose between their friendship and the kingship of Christ, you know what they say about friends. They say that good friends rarely, if ever, lift bad friends higher, but almost always, bad friends pull good ones down. It's dangerous because we make an absolute claim for Christ. This is not one more teacher among many. He's not one more voice somewhere on par with Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad. This is not the feast of Christ, your life coach, or Christ, your chief mentor, Christ, CEO, president, or chairman of the board. And you want to know why else? It's a terrible, terrible risk to confess that Christ is king. Is because it means that you and I must continue an ongoing, lifelong conversion of heart. Because I don't want to see a show of hands right now, but if I were to ask you, is there anybody here, who can honestly raise their hand and say that Christ rules every aspect of my life, every conversation and every relationship? He's the Lord not only on Sunday morning for an hour, but he's the Lord of my bedroom and my bank account. Can anybody say that? I don't think anybody honestly could. A lifelong conversion. And it'll continue until you draw your last breath. And we say this every time we say the Our Father. Have you noticed? Every time we say the Our Father, what do we say? We say, Thy kingdom come. Now, what does it mean to say, Thy kingdom come, except to say, My kingdom go? That's tough to say. In your heart, there's a throne, and it seats only one. If Christ is king, that means you have to get up and get out and make some room for him, and it's very hard to do until, in every aspect of your life, you can honestly say, with St. Paul, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. Very difficult thing to make Christ the king of your life. And you know that you're supposed to, but do you say that on your own? Or have others told you to say that? Most important question that you'll ever answer, because once upon a time, Christ was born into this world, but a cute little baby born in Bethlehem on Christmas Day, his arms extended in love and mercy for the whole world. When he comes again, he's going to come riding on the clouds of heaven, the executor of divine justice. Absolutely wonderful news to many, many people, and a terrible, terrible surprise to many, many more. And this king, this day, invites you to acclaim him while you can. And there's no better place in all the world to begin to do that than right here. And no better time than right now. Amen.